Hello, and welcome to the Business Decisions Podcast. My name is Stuart Wood. I'm the CEO of Caravel Law and your host for this podcast. Today's guest is Emily Cushman from Kira Talent. We'll talk a little bit about how Emily is leading her organization through the current COVID-19 situation. First, let me tell you a little bit about Emily. Emily is the co-founder and CEO of Kira Talent. She's a proud graduate of the University of Windsor, and she has received the University of Windsor Odyssey Award for Alumni Achievement. She was part of the Next 36 program, a program that she now gives back to as a board member, and received their Most Outstanding Venture Award at the time. And more recently, she received the Jeff Tabor Alumni Achievement Award. In the 8 years since she and her co-founder started Kira Talent, she has received a number of awards. She was named an HSBC Woman Leader of Tomorrow. She was recognized as part of the WXN Top 100 Most Powerful Women in Canada list. Toronto Life magazine included her as part of their list of Toronto's 20 most brilliant tech innovators. And most recently, she was included in the 2019 Forbes list of the top 30 under 30. She's a very thoughtful business leader, and I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. All right, I'm delighted to welcome Emily Cushman to the podcast today. Emily is the co-founder and CEO of Kira Talent and based in Toronto. Emily, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks, Stuart. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Well, as good as we can be under these circumstances.
True.
So I thought I would start there. How is Kira Talent managing its way through this COVID-19 situation?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I think like many of us, Kira, faced with COVID-19, we made the decision to start working remotely as of March 13th. So I think we're, quite a few weeks in at this point, but we were able to make the smooth transition. I mean, we are a tech company, so we've been able to operate at 100% capacity in a remote setting, probably better than we thought originally. So that's been positive. And I mean, the nature of our business, like we help admissions teams be more online. We provide a holistic admissions solution that helps teams do things like remote interviewing and remote assessments. And so, I mean, we've actually found kind of an uptick in our business ever since the start of COVID, because unfortunately, a lot of schools have been in the position where, it's interview season and now they're having to transition online at the last minute. And it's a bit of a scramble, trying to figure out what to do in these circumstances, just given that literally it was mid-March when this started. And so what we found is that we had a huge rush of schools coming in saying, we need to get up and running ASAP. And so it's kind of a bit, it's kind of two polar opposites. On one hand, you have schools that are rushing into us saying, we need to get up and running. And then on the other hand, we have our sales team reaching up to schools saying, hi, we can be helpful here. And schools are saying, don't even talk to us. We have so much to think about right now. We're putting out fires left, right, and center. And so we're kind of seeing this mixed response from schools. But overall, the business has been in a good place. We've seen, again, kind of an uptick. And so far, the team's doing well. So knock on wood.
There you go. Is the application process for universities and schools going forward as usual for September starts?
It's a very sensitive topic. So far, it's not completely confirmed. So we've had some schools that have made broad declarations saying, yes, we will be back in September, rain or shine. And then we've had other schools that are a lot more cautious saying, the first semester will probably be online, maybe even the second semester. So right now, we're seeing a pretty broad range of responses from schools. And really, I don't think we're going to have a good sense of what's to come until June or July. I think right now, everyone's still kind of in that panic mode, still just waiting and seeing, what happens with the government regulations on when things start reopening and kind of the phased approach. So I think it'll still be another month or two before we have a definitive answer.
And are you noticing any trends on the applicant side of things?
So on the applicant side of things, I mean, I think what schools are going to see is, obviously less international applicants. Like I think with, still all the travel restrictions and borders closed, I think there's just growing anxieties from applicants around, will I get my visa accepted in time, et cetera. So I think in general, applicants might opt for more local schools, this coming year, or they will continue their application process to the schools that they want to go to. However, they might opt to defer a year. So we're already seeing from schools that a lot of applicants have been asking to defer. Some schools are allowing that to happen, whereas other schools are just saying, nope, you either start now online or you don't. And so, we're kind of seeing a little bit of a mix. But I would say in general, it's applicants are choosing more local schools, they're choosing to defer. And then on the flip side, you have some applicants that maybe weren't even considering school, but now, because there's this opportunity, a lot of schools are dropping requirements to get in, like some of the entrance exams and everything. They're kind of offering more flexible timelines. Students are thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe this is my chance to go to grad school. And I hadn't actually thought of this previously. So you're kind of seeing a mix of all three.
Yeah, I could see someone whose career may have been disrupted in this moment, using it as a natural break and a good chance to go to school.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, a lot of people are out of work right now. And so what do you do when that happens? Sometimes you go back to school.
Yeah. Is the current situation changing the way that your clients are using the platform? I would assume that a lot of schools sometimes will have a Kira video interview early in the process and then have an in-person interview later. And if that in-person interview doesn't take place, perhaps they change the way they ask the questions or the range of questions they ask up front?
Yeah, I think for existing clients, they're using us in the same way, which is, they had already used Kira. So I think if anything, they're not going forward and doing the in-person interviews and they're just weighing the Kira score a little bit more heavily. For some of the new clients that are coming in, they are specifically using Kira to replace their in-person interviews. And then probably the most interesting use case is we're seeing a big uptake from medical schools and health sciences programs that are actually using Kira as an MMI replacement. So MMI, which is the multiple mini interview, is an in-person interview process where you have like a full day affair and it's kind of a big room and you have stations and, students will, or applicants will come in and they'll kind of sit at each station and they'll read a case-based question and respond to a physical person. And then a timer will go off and then they'll kind of switch booths. And so it's this very manual in-person interview process. And now we're seeing that we're able to facilitate that being brought online. So that's probably been the most interesting use case is the MMI replacement within medical schools and health sciences programs.
So in your from your perspective as a CEO of a company that's, doing well and perhaps even busier than usual during this period, how has this affected your team and how you're managing the business?
Honestly, I think this is probably something that's similar to a lot of other companies. Like, I think, it's funny because as a tech company, a lot of times you hear from your employees, oh, we want more remote work and we want more flexible time to work remotely and everything. And now it's like we're in a situation where everybody has to work remote and everybody really misses the office. Like, I think a lot of our team, it's like, it's harder to collaborate. Things are slower. Instead of just turning your screen, it's like, okay, let's schedule a Zoom call. And, sometimes the person doesn't happen to be at their Slack page right when you're giving that notification. So it's like there's a bit of a delay. So I think in general, it's like just the productivity hit is what's impacting the team the most. And I think everyone just misses each other. They're really, eager to get back to the office. But unfortunately, being a tech company that can operate at 100% capacity remote will probably be among the last to return. So.
And have you had to add anyone to your team or grow the team at all during this period?
So we have been hiring actually on our team. So, and we've also, reshifted a couple things so that our client success team has a little bit more resources since they're the ones servicing all of these new clients. And then separate from that, yeah, we are hiring right now, both on our sales team and our engineering team. So, that's ongoing.
I think it's a great opportunity for people to maybe access some talent that might not have been available otherwise before this all took place.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's interesting, trying to onboard new people in a complete remote capacity, but so far we haven't slowed down.
And have you taken any steps to try to build community and sort of keep your team feeling like a team during this process?
Yeah, we have little things like we do like our Zoom lunch. We'll do Zoom lunch Monday, Wednesday, Friday. On Friday at the office, we used to have, TGIF like many other tech companies where it's like, everyone kind of hangs out at the end of the day Friday. And so now on Friday from 4 to 5 p.m., we have our TGIF, which usually consists of we break out into smaller groups and we'll like play Pictionary or Taboo or some of the online games available. We'll do like little things like that just to kind of keep everyone engaged. And then coffee chats here and there. I know some of our employees will actually just keep Zoom open and they'll just hang out and work together. we do what we can.
That sounds great. And so how have you been planning? You mentioned that the universities are thinking about a range of scenarios depending on what sort of instructions they get from the government.
Yes.
How have you been approaching the wide range of scenarios and how, your company may evolve going forward?
I mean, it really depends. Like, I mean, I think that even if schools were to open up and go completely, you know, back to school, back to normal on campus, I mean, a lot of people have been saying this. It's like, normal after COVID will not be normal before COVID. And so we are going to see some degree of, you know, okay, yes, we're maybe back on campus, but what if there's a second wave in the winter? You know, what would that look like? I think schools are going to be a lot quicker to turn on the online process if something were to happen again, or at least have those systems in place. And I think maybe just rely on online resources a lot more than they would have otherwise before all of this. But and then in the instance that if everything does stay online, so a lot of schools, let's say they decide not to go back in September and the first two semesters are online. I mean, again, we are an online solution for admissions. And so we're hoping that we'll be okay. Like, we're hoping that in either scenario, it's like whether schools go back or not, you know, there will either be a need for Kira because things are still online, or even if things are back to in person, you know, there might still be a need for Kira if schools are planning ahead and thinking, oh my gosh, what if this happens again? Or in general, you know, it might just be a good idea to have a couple more online solutions in our back pocket just to help facilitate some of our processes. So I'm hopeful.
And have you had to, it sounds like you haven't needed the support, but have you had to navigate any of the government support programs or anything like that?
No, not to date. I mean, we haven't, I guess it's a good thing. We haven't qualified for a lot of them. So, again, knock on wood, I hate talking about, oh, everything's going great, because of course, Murphy's Law, then all of a sudden you get hit with something. But, no, so far we haven't, qualified for a lot of the programs. So we're kind of just doing what we're doing.
And you've, on the office side of things, have you just left it empty for this period of time?
Yep. The office has been completely empty. Actually, I will say one of the things that we have taken advantage of is, so we're in a Spaces co-working office. And so Spaces has given their companies some rent relief, which has been wonderful because we have a pretty hefty rent bill. So just leaving the office completely empty for a couple months now has been painful. And we imagine it'll be a couple more months. So thankfully, Spaces has given us some rent relief.
Oh, that's great. And what role has your board played through all this crisis situation?
Well, I think in the first little while, they were panicking, I think, well, and rightfully so. I mean, I think that, you know, when this first erupted, we had no idea how this was going to impact us, how this was going to impact, you know, every company. And so I think, you know, with our board, a lot of their portfolio companies were put in a position where they were struggling. And so I think for the first couple of weeks, you know, they were hyper aware. We were in touch like almost every day. It was like, oh my gosh, how's things going? You know, are you guys still able to make sales? Are you still able to collect checks from clients who are paying and everything? So for that first little while, I think everyone was just really on high alert because it was just still unknown. Now that we've been in this for 2 months and, you know, we've kind of seen things settle in, we haven't noticed a huge impact in terms of like cash collection or, you know, sales. Now they've eased off a little bit. So I think that, you know, that's just been a natural evolution.
Yeah. Have you had other people in your network, or I know you're part of the Next 36 community. Have you seen a sense of community emerging from any of those places?
Oh yeah, 100%. And not even just Next 36. I mean, like we're part of Next 36, we're part of CDL. But then on top of that, it's like, I'm, you know, still relatively plugged into kind of other communities in the city. And I think everybody has just completely rallied around each other. And like, I swear every day there's a webinar or a podcast or something, you know, maybe it's an investor or someone from BDC or whatever, kind of sitting on a panel around crisis management, wartime management, et cetera. So yeah, I've seen a huge sense of community in a whole bunch of pockets around the city.
Has it been somewhat overwhelming, the number of webinars and articles that are being sent to you, that kind of thing?
Yes.
I'm finding it really difficult to navigate all of the stuff that's coming my way.
Yeah, I'm just going to say yes and leave it at that. I think, like, honestly, it's like your email is just completely bombarded. So I've, thankfully on the sales side, so like with our sales team, they're also getting bombarded with webinars just from universities around like, what's this going to look like in September, et cetera. Like a lot of, you know, ed tech publications or, you know, schools themselves are hosting webinars and information sessions on things like that. So I know they have like divided and conquered among them, like a big spreadsheet of like, okay, here's every webinar happening in the next 2 months. And, you know, you're taking this one and I'm taking this one, and they have like a shared notes drive. So they've been doing a really good job at attacking that. But no, in terms of myself, just like all of the Toronto tech webinars around COVID relief, or yeah, like wartime management, etc. Like I think I've sufficiently bombarded.
And have there been any surprises for you along the way through this process? Anything that stood out?
Honestly, the biggest surprise, and again, probably something that a lot of other companies are going to say, is just how well we've been able to operate fully remote. I thought it was going to be, I don't know, I guess I just thought it was going to be a lot worse in terms of the productivity hit. And don't get me wrong, like there still is a productivity hit, but like by and large, we've been okay. It's like, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it would be at the beginning of this, especially like if you told me March 13th, you know, hey, you're going to be doing this for 2 months. And then on top of that, there might be another 2 months. I would have been like, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be horrible. Like, let's start rearranging everything. Like I would have reacted much differently. But just as the weeks have gone by and everyone's kind of gotten into their groove, I'm just really impressed at how smooth it's been.
And how have you thought about your own leadership through this process and how it's evolved over the lifetime of Kira Talent?
I mean, I think in these times, like, I think probably, like, I mean, you know, there's the normal things that I do, but I think just the biggest contribution, at least to the team, is just, I feel like I'm checking in with everybody all the time. Like, I feel like I'm constantly checking in, just constantly, like, communicating or reiterating certain things that have already been communicated, or if anyone posts like any kind of win, I will be double excited about it. So like, I think it's just really kind of trying to pump up the team as much as I can, like way more than I did before. Like before, this was kind of something that like, oh yeah, that would happen once in a while, you know, when we had a win. But it's like, ever since this started, I've made a huge effort of like any single win, any small win, you know, regardless of the size or, you know, anything that's been communicated, even if it's already been said once or twice, like over communicating, pumping people up. Like, I feel like that has taken a disproportionate amount of time now than it has before.
And you've had a lot of people who've been part of your team for quite a while. Is that right?
We're kind of mixed. I mean, we have some people who have been around for, yeah, like 5 or 6 years, and that, but then we also have a whole bunch of new people. So it's, yeah, it's a mix.
Well, how have you seen those people step up during this period of time in add sort of their voices of leadership, especially when you're onboarding people in the middle of a very strange situation?
I mean, I think that like when I think about the people who have actually been with us the longest, they are strong individual contributors in the roles that they're doing. So like how they've helped the most is like they've put their head down and they've just crushed whatever they're doing. So it's less so from like a management perspective. It's just like the people that we have who've been here the longest, it's like they have just put their heads down, shut out distraction, and they've just like crushed whatever they're good at throughout this time. So that's been great because it's like, that's, you know, I count on them for these things and they do not cease to deliver. So, so that's been good.
And so in terms of the new members that are coming on board, do you find that it's a challenge to build that initial relationship with someone who's starting when you don't get a chance to sort of meet with them in person or go out for coffee and that sort of thing? Or do you find that the video meetings that you might have or whatever are effective in helping to get that started effectively?
You know, like I think in terms of onboarding new people, like I think it's okay. I'm not going to lie. I do think we're missing out on the in-person there. It's like, it's just not the same, like trying to build this net new relationship with someone over Zoom versus, you know, actually meeting them in person. So like it's the best we have right now and we're making the best of it. But I mean, I definitely miss the in-person element for that specifically, because I don't think it's as good.
Yeah. In terms of the application process, so the mission of your company is not just, you know, video interviewing, but you sort of help on the overall effort against fraud in applications for schools, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that universities are more worried about that now, given the lack of a step where they might interview in person, or any of those steps that might have taken place before?
At this point, I would say no, only because it's still so new and fresh. Like, I mean, you know, 2 months ago, it's like, I don't think anybody thought that we would be in this situation. Like, it's this happened literally in the middle of their interview process. So their biggest concern was literally just moving everything online as fast as possible. And I mean, even now, like, if schools don't reopen in the fall, I mean, that has huge implications on the university in terms of layoffs and, you know, rearranging budget, et cetera. So, like, they're not even thinking about this right now. This is kind of maybe it's on the back of their mind, but it's like the urgent priority is, number one, get everything online so that we can process this cycle, extending some of their deadlines so that they can get in more applicants, given that a bunch of their current, you know, people that they've accepted are probably deferring. And then number three, it's like, what the heck is going on in September? Because that could have huge implications for the school. So I think all of the things around, you know, making admissions holistic and fraud, I mean, you know, maybe that'll come back next year. But I think right now it's just like, holy crap, get this online and let's figure out the next couple months.
Yeah, fair enough. In terms of the people who are sort of doing sales for your organization, how are they managing through this situation?
I mean, I think that, and you know, this has evolved over the past 2 months. Like, I think in the beginning, it was a little bit stressful for them because, you know, they were reaching out to people and they were literally getting responses like, don't bother me, this is not priority. And like, you know, don't talk to me for months kind of thing. I think that now, and again, like, the closer we get to a point where schools know what's going to happen in the fall, you know, things will change a little bit. Now, like, I think now we're starting to go in that direction where it's like, you know, they're hearing back from people who shut them out 2 months ago saying, okay, you know what, I think we're ready to talk. But yeah, like, I think for the sales team, it's like, it was definitely frustrating those first couple weeks, because it's like, all of their reach outs pretty much went on deaf ears. And, you know, I think they just powered through because they were thinking, you know what, we have a solution that can actually help you. And so we're just going to kind of nurture you softly. And, you know, when the time is right, and in a couple months from now, when there's a plan for September, and you're starting to think about next year, you know, at that point, kind of, we'll be ready for you. And we'll be here when you're ready to talk. But they've just been patient. They've just been like, you know what, we're just going to try to keep these leads warm and do our best, but ultimately not push anything on anyone, because we just know how stressful it is right now. And we know that people aren't ready to talk.
Has this changed your plans for the company going forward, in terms of either in the short term or the long term vision for where you're planning to go over the next few years?
To be honest, no. So, yeah. I mean, so far, like, you know, from a revenue perspective, we've hit plan every month so far this year. And, you know, so far, everything looks good. I mean, we don't have any plans to change our product developments. Pretty much everything that we were going to develop are things that now we're trying to do anyways in a more makeshift capacity. So if anything, like, I wish we could develop some of the things we had planned faster, just to better accommodate, you know, this influx of new schools that are coming online with us right now. So no plans to change anything from a product perspective.
And the long-term vision for the company remains the same?
Remains the same. We make admissions fair.
There you go. So if someone is interested in learning more about Kira Talent, what's the best way for them to learn more about your company?
Well, they can go to www.kiratalent.com and they can fill out a contact us form.
That sounds great. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Emily. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right. I really enjoyed that conversation with Emily. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Business Decisions Podcast. If you'd like more information about Caravel Law, please check us out at caravellaw.com. If you like this episode of the podcast, please subscribe, leave us a rating, and potentially share this episode with someone else that you think would benefit from the conversation. We hope all of your business decisions are great ones.